listening to Kauai Community Radio. That is KKCR Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Molua'a, K284AL, Haleiwa. Aloha and welcome to the Veterans Program. We have a brand new Veterans Program. We did it a few months ago, but we have a chance to start the Veterans Program again because we have a new Veterans Assistant Coordinator at Kauai Community College. And before we go and introduce the people who are going to be here today and exactly what we're going to talk about, we're so excited about it because it's a new show. I have to be able to tell you who is supporting this new show. And I want to give a great shout out to Kauai Coffee, Ching Young Village, Kalaheo Chiropractic. And we'll also have an announcement for you about the political archive information available from Kauai Community Radio.
Kauai Coffee Company. The Kauai Coffee Estate is located on Highway 540. Walking tour and samples of all of our coffees available. 100% Island Estate grown Kauai Coffee. More information online at kauaicoffee.com.
Ching Young Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Ching Young, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo Jeff Culver House for your support.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic, acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, electromagnetic cellular therapy, and spinal rehab. Most major health insurance plans in Medicare accepted. Open Monday through Friday, 332-5580 or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
If you'd like to learn more about the 2014 political candidates, please visit the KKCR.org audio archives page. There you will find links to political forums recorded live, Kauai Community Radio, keeping you informed. Visit KKCR.org.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Hey, we're in the middle of our pledge drive, but before we start giving you the number, 826-7771, that you can call in to make your pledge, I'd like to turn the show over to Michael Estes. Michael, hi.
Yes, hi. Hi, everyone. My name is Michael Estes, and as I was so welcomed, I am the new Special Assistant for Veteran Affairs at Kauai Community College. And one of the pleasures I have is to go ahead and do the show. You may have heard my voice before. I actually used to sit in as a veteran student and also go ahead and assist on the show. And we have also, who is so gracious to co-host with us, Stephanie Whiting. Stephanie, you want to say hi?
Aloha ahi ahi kako. Hi, everybody.
Aloha, Stephanie. It's nice to have both of you guys here, and I understand you have a really interesting topic for us today.
Well, we're going to go ahead and I wanted to mention a movie that was released on Kauai. It was actually produced by students here on Kauai, and it was highlighting the issues regarding PTSD in our service members, and it was called Still Serving. And, you know, I'd love to go ahead and just mention that briefly. But we got a fantastic guest later on. Stephanie, you want to go ahead and discuss that?
Mm-hmm. At about half past the hour, we're going to have Major General Mary Kay Hertog. She is retired from the Air Force after 34 years, and she is retired living on Kauai and a great resource. She's also on the police commission here. And she'll be calling in. There is, on this coming Saturday, October 18th, a Women in the Military Conference at the Veterans Center. So she'll be talking about that. And we'll also focus on issues that arise for women in the military.
And I believe also Congresswoman Gabbard will be speaking at the women's, is it symposium or conference? What are we calling it?
Well,
okay, we're going to call it a conference symposium.
I like that.
And I will be there as well. Hopefully I can go ahead and provide some answers if anyone has questions regarding educational use of educational benefits. But I'm looking forward to it. We really don't spend enough time going ahead and giving the proper attention to our female veterans. And I think this is a great step. And hopefully it's not going to be one step. It's just the first in many.
Well, there's quite a number of initiatives coming out of Washington, as you know, regarding support, because support for veterans has, you know, my opinion, been a little lacking. And so it's nice to know that there are things that exist on Kauai that people may not be aware of. And I think it'd really be nice if you could bring to light some of the things that people, you know, services they can get and help you can get through your veterans' benefits.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason why I'm here is that I am a licensed mental health counselor on this island, and I'm also a volunteer counselor for Give an Hour, which is a nonprofit national network of mental health professionals, and they provide free confidential counseling to members of the military and their loved ones. So that would include family members, spouses, partners, parents, siblings, and children. Give an Hour has over 7,000 licensed mental health counselors in all 50 states, including D.C., Puerto Rico, and Guam. And it is my honor to be at Kauai Community College, usually on Fridays, but we will publish the upcoming dates when I'll be there at their wellness center to offer counseling to student veterans.
And myself, I was a Navy hospital corpsman when I was in the service. I am presently a 100% service-connected disabled veteran, although I do get around, so I have no complaints whatsoever. The VA has treated me very well. I started out at Kauai Community College after 20 years of not being anywhere, being like completely honest, terrified, thinking, how can I go to school with all these kids? Well, I found out that there are a lot more people around my age, and we're talking, I'm in my mid-40s. There are a lot more people my age on campus than you'd imagine. And it actually has been a fantastic experience for me, and it has allowed me to grow. It's given me the opportunity not only to move forward in my education, which I'm still doing, looking to one day go ahead and either be a physician or PhD in public health policy, or just being of service, but for me, it has allowed me to also participate and serve our veterans on campus and those who might just be interested in coming to take a course, maybe not even for credit, but just they want to brush up on some skills. We can provide that too.
Yeah, there's actually the Office of Continuing Education and Training, which also offers professional certification in a lot of areas, including installation and maintenance of solar. Kind of get in on something brand new and you know, think about what you want to do, because your veterans benefits can pay for you to learn what it is.
Absolutely, and that's something that a lot of people don't realize. They think that they have to enroll in a traditional college structure where they're taking 12 credits and moving on, and in fact you can go and you can specialize for what you're looking for. Maybe it is just going ahead and refreshing some skills. Maybe it's to learn a new skill to move forward in your career. Whatever it is, we actually can provide. And what I really like about it, especially through the Office of Continuing Education, we call it OSET for short. We like acronyms. that they really are very receptive to what the community wants. So if somebody comes in and says, I really would like this course, or I'd like to take this class, they'll actually go ahead and look at the feasibility, see if there are others that feel the same way, and then try to make it happen, and not only happen, but happen as quick as possible.
Yeah, they're very responsive. And also, if you have a course that you think that you'd like to teach, you can bring and pitch the idea forward.
Absolutely. They're always looking forward to having people that want to share their knowledge, and I think that that's just a really positive environment overall. Wonderful people there.
Well, we are in the middle of our fundraiser here at Kauai Community Radio, and we really would like to hear from some of you veterans out there. Give us a call here, 826-7771. Make a pledge, and if you have questions or comments you want to make on the air about your experiences here on Kauai, then, you know, feel free to phone in 826-7771 or 826-7774. We really would like to get your support.
Gentlemen and ladies, please support the radio station that supports us.
And this is Stephanie, and I'd like to make a small challenge out there. My husband is retired from the Navy. Our younger daughter also served in the Navy. And so, hey, Navy, call in. Also, both of my sons-in-law served in the Marines, as did my older daughter. Okay, Marines, call
love
in.
Love the Marines. Love the Marines.
Oh, we could start counting who's calling from where. Yeah, it's very interesting. My uncles were mostly in the Air Force, and one was in the Navy for a little while, and also in the Army. A lot of career Army people. So this, it's in everybody's, almost everybody's family, you know, and you know somebody who's benefited or has served their country, and we'd like to hear from you guys to help support Kauai Community Radio to bring you programs like this where we can discuss issues. And if you have something that you'd like to talk about,
please call.
On your mind about veterans fairs going on in the island, we have a couple people here that might be able to direct you to some resources that could help you. And if you'd like to phone in and take the call a little bit offline, we could understand if you'd like to do that. So we're very discreet. So give us a call here, 826-7771. Back to you, Michael.
Okay, what would we like to discuss? Oh, yeah, the still serving. Mm-hmm. So this really started out simply as a high school seniors senior project. And Above Moon Productions is the group that, I believe it's Above Moon at ORG, .org. They went ahead and they put together the students and this, and they had one, I guess, very experienced director that acted as a mentor. Long story short is they put together a professional quality documentary, and at the premiere over at Kauai Performing Arts Center, which is also housed on Kauai Community College's campus. They had a free showing for anyone in the public that wanted to go to it. It was last week, and we had the mayor there. We had representatives from Congresswoman Gabbard's staff there. We had representatives from different organizations, veteran organizations, as well as the general public, and also the Kauai CBOC, which is the medical facilities for veterans here on Kauai and the mental health side. It was, what I thought was amazing about it was you have these individuals and they're telling their stories, except their stories resonated. They seemed very similar. And with PTSD, and that was a major focus here. With PTSD, you have some generalities, but you also have very individualized experiences. I really enjoyed watching it. I know a lot of people didn't. I know it had a lot of emotional impact for some. So I would recommend anyone that is interested, go online. Again, it's abovemoon.org. Take a look, and maybe it might help you understand how, you know, those who experience PTSD, you know, are experiencing it. And maybe it might even help you if it's you experiencing it.
And what was the name of that movie?
Still Serving. And it was a complete cast. It was produced by, directed by Kauai residents, and all of the individuals showcased were Kauai residents. Most of them were actually on hand at the grand opening for it. It was very well done. They even had the junior ROTC from Waimea go in and do an honor guard, and it was a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. Might be a really interesting show to invite these people to come in and talk about it.
I think you might be right on that. I would love to hear their take on it. Mm-hmm. I know that when I left with a little bit of remembering how my first year or so out of the military, because I was in the Navy, but I was medical for the Marines, and it was during the Desert Shield, Desert Storm period. And I remembered how I had for about a year or so a lot of the experiences that they described, except back then, it wasn't called PTSD. It was just you don't talk about it. And things have gotten much better in the military. I was speaking to one of the doctors over at the regional clinic over on Oahu, who said point blank to me just about a few months ago, in today's military, everybody comes out with either a physical or a mental, not so much something negative, but there's some, you know, just like anything, if you run all the time, you're going to stress and strain different body parts. Well, the same thing occurs in the military. It could be physical, it could be mental, but everybody's stressed and strained. We recognize that now. We no longer look at it as a weakness, but merely a byproduct of the sacrifice and lifestyle people make. Now they're much more receptive on giving the support and assistance necessary to help people heal so that they can go on with their lives without a constant limp, as it were.
Well, you know, Stephanie, isn't it true that for veterans who were in Vietnam, for instance, they might have suffered from PTSD, but it was not identified back then as being... So what can those guys, is there anything they can do?
Well, you know what I would like to say, to back up just a little bit, get some information. There is a range as far as the severity of symptoms that we commonly know, I think most people know about, as far as PTS and PTSD. And so sometimes it does. It takes a while. It's not immediate. It could be 6 months after an incident, or it could be years. And with our Vietnam veterans, they are of the age where it's transitional now, maybe retired, thinking about what's the next stage in life going to be for me, not having to go to work every day, maybe having grandchildren. And it could be at this point that some of the, you know, some of the thoughts, some of the feelings, some of the physical sensations start to come back, and people might wonder, well, I don't know if this is PTS, PTSD. But if you are having even, you know, some worries about that, maybe losing some sleep, maybe feeling nervous or anxious, I would say check it out. Check it out and see. You know, go talk to your healthcare provider, maybe get a reference to counselor, psychologist, and get the information and see what's going on, because we don't, you know, if people are losing sleep or their appetite is decreased, that's going to have an effect on their overall health and how they're feeling from day to day.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, Stephanie, can you go ahead and clarify for me, because I figure if I don't know, maybe there's one or two listeners that don't know as well. What is the difference between PTS, PTSD?
Okay, this is my clarification on, so the D in PTSD stands for disorder. And when there is a diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder, there are certain criteria that, kind of a checklist of what's happening to a person. Do they have a startled response? Are they having flashbacks? A lack of sleep, tearfulness, anger. It's very specific criteria. However, a person doesn't necessarily need to be experiencing all of these and still have a difficult time. It could be mostly anxiety, panic. It could be bordering on a specific phobia. But it comes from the person having gone through a very difficult time, and the body remembers the symptoms show up in the body, and that happens faster than the speed of thought.
Thanks. I can see where you're coming from then. I was a little confused when you were initially saying, but now I understand.
Right, yeah. Thank you so much for clarifying that. It's funny because my father was a World War II veteran, and he was in the tank corps. He was in the Battle of the Bulge. And to the day he died, he was claustrophobic as could be. And he always said it was from being in a tank and having to go over those hedgerows and knowing the underside of the tank was exposed, and was he going to get hit? You know, so we understand about what people have been through. And, you know, Stephanie and guys like that are here to help.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So this is our fundraiser, and we sure would like to hear from you at 826-7771. I am going to make a donation in honor of my Uncle Ray.
Oh.
Thank you, Lynn.
My Uncle Ray.
Thank you, Uncle Ray.
Uncle Ray passed.
Oh, wow.
But Uncle Ray was...
Now, why are you going to do that to me on air?
No. Uncle Ray was... He was my favoriteest uncle. He was adorable, and he did terrible jokes to the rest of the family. But he was in the Air Force, and he was... I don't know what the rank would be, but it was the highest rank you can get without being an officer.
Okay.
In the Air Force, and he did supply and stuff like that, and I've had lots of uncles who served, and in honor of them, however, I'm going to pledge for the Air Force, so Air Force gets one vote here, and we're giving a challenge out there to the rest of you guys, Marines, Navy,
Army.
Coast Guard.
Yeah, we're going to let the Coast Guard in on this. Come on now.
So give us a call, 826-7771 or 826-7774.
Okay.
Yeah, we have lots of giveaway things, you know, that we go along with giving us a little call.
Could you go ahead and go and explain some of those items?
I will. Now, we'll go down a $10, you can have a bumper sticker. For $25, a bumper sticker. And the Talk Story CD this time is Jerry Santos from Olomana.
Mm-hmm.
Ku'o Homeo Kahalu'u, one of my favorite songs ever. This man wrote that, and so you're going to get him performing that on a Talk Story CD. These are not available any other way except by pledging to KKCR. I've actually seen the one from Dennis Kamakahi on sale on Amazon for $80.
That's
amazing. Asking for that. So now what you can get for $75, we can get a T-shirt, and we have men's and women's, and 152 T-shirts, or one of the most beautiful hats that Michael is coveting.
I am definitely coveting it, and I've already donated. I just got to see how my bank account is looking for it.
And then we have at $200, you can get a T-shirt and a hat or a solar wind-up radio. And it's a really nice one. It really will work and take care of you in all those power outages, or if you want to go to the beach.
I was thinking of Nini, yeah?
Yep.
Go a little camping.
So that number to call is 826-7771, and we're expecting to have a phone call pretty soon from the general.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, I would like to get the Army in on this. This is Stephanie. My father was a master sergeant, and this is in World War II. He, along with the rest of my family, were put into Tule Lake Relocation Camp on the Oregon-California border, and he enlisted out of that camp and was in the Military Intelligence Service. And also was, in addition to serving on the mainland, was in Japan at the war crimes trials as a translator. And Norman Hashisaka, who is on this island, was also there, Military Intelligence Service. So this is going to be my honor to do this, Army Military Intelligence Service, World War II guys.
Actually, at the end of World War II, my father was the editor of the...
Hang on just a minute.
Okay, just a sec. It's the general has phoned in, but my father was the editor of the Stars and Stripes in Europe at the end of World War II, and so he was a journalist who ended up going to war, and that's what happens sometimes in these situations, that you get people, you go, wow, you know, and I think World War II was probably the last time we're really that broadband when everybody went in, and these days it's a little bit different, and so the experience is different, as is... you know, the kind of help that the person needs when they've gone
through. Absolutely agree with you. Sometimes it isn't as clean cut about who's the good guys, who's not.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And we have, you said we have the general on the line. We're going to take care of that?
Okay.
Well, little technical difficulties. Okay, yeah. We can make that happen. Anyway, Stephanie, you mentioned that your dad and your relatives were put in one of those camps.
Yes, because people can't see us on the radio, I'll have to mention that I am Japanese American, and yes, that happened, you know, shortly after Pearl Harbor, and there were people from this island that were sent away. And
I didn't know that.
I
thought that they actually left people here in the islands alone, believe it or not. That's that was the impression I had.
There were a few from this island that I know specifically were sent to the mainland and put in a prisoner of war camp, Santa Fe.
I don't know if you, and it's not directly related in terms of the military, but are you familiar with the actor George Takei?
Yes.
Well, he used to play Sulu on the original Star Trek, and that's maybe where people would remember him from.
Yeah.
He actually wrote recently in another book, because he has several books out, the experiences of him and his family being placed in one
and
of those
they
camps.
They were in Tule Lake Camp.
Yeah.
And I've met his sister Barbara on pilgrimages there. Yeah, he was a toddler at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember watching an interview with him speaking about it, and it was actually very enlightening. I'm glad that the country did not make the same mistake after 2001, because I know that there were calls from a certain party in Congress that wanted to do that, and I'm glad that they didn't, because Americans are Americans, you know, and you have to... You have to realize that, yes, you may have a certain ethnicity or a certain religion, but most Americans, and I mean the vast majority, they put their country ahead of any other ancillary views. Oh, looks like they're having now, we're bringing in the geek squad, the technicians. we're going to have the general call back, and hopefully we can make this happen.
Well, I have to tell you, the reason that we delayed our fundraiser for 1 week was that there was a lightning storm on Kauai, and what happened was it knocked out our phone system, the one that we use for putting people on the air.
Gotcha.
So this is an absolutely brand new system. It's completely different, and we've discovered one of the little hitches in it is if they phone in and one of our wonderful volunteers answers the phone to take a pledge, then we can't get the person on the air. So we're asking the general to call back one more time.
Well, our wonderful volunteer.
Third time's a charm.
Student veteran from KCC, Steve. Don't pick up the phone this time, please. But after that, pick up the phone.
Yeah. Well, so far, you know, we've got one Army and one Air Force.
All right.
I think that's pathetic. I think that we ought to have at least one Marine.
I don't disagree with you. I think that I'm really surprised. I mean, my greatest pleasure was serving as medical for the Marines, and you guys are disappointing me out there, you gentlemen and ladies. He should be going ahead and saying, yes, we want to support the radio station that wants to support us.
We're still having trouble with it.
That's all right.
The phone's ringing. Yeah.
Matter of fact, I bet you if you are the one who sends in that next donation, I bet it will fix the telephone system.
You know, that's true. And if it came from Coast Guard, then it would be really cool.
That would be very cool.
I have great respect for people who are in the Coast Guard. I used to fly the iceberg patrol.
Oh, you remember? You used to tell me that. Yeah.
The Coast Guard people off the east coast of Canada. And wonderful people, wonderful people.
I've never seen so much stress over one phone call. General, if you're hearing us, please keep on calling. I love to see the faces here. Stephanie,
yes.
I think that we're supposed to pretend we're not watching them freak out over the telephone call.
Well, you know, we could just do a short spell of relaxation breathing.
You know what? I don't think that the guests would, rather our listeners would appreciate that. But we could definitely mention some of the things that you do. Because I noticed you didn't mention that you're on the board of directors for what now? The state...
Oh, the Hawaii Counselors Association.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, and they are having a conference on the 24th, and I'll be doing a workshop there.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And are you going to be able to attend the Saturday?
Yes, I will.
Oh, great. There. I'll love seeing you there. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it myself, and I will not deny I look forward to any place that says we will feed you. Mm-hmm. So there will be food there. I'll be there for the female veterans regardless.
Hey, guess what happened?
We got her through.
The general is online.
Oh,
outstanding.
Wonderful.
Hopefully you're there. Aloha, general. Are you there?
Aloha.
Oh.
Fantastic.
Thank you for your patience.
No problem. Thanks for allowing me to give a call.
Wow. Well, this is General Mary Kay Hertog. She retired from the Air Force after 34 years. May I call you General Hertog, or would you prefer to be Mary Kay?
Mary Kay, fine with me.
Oh, Mary Kay, thank you so much. When you and I last talked, you were telling me that you were director for Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Office, and that was under the Department of Defense?
Right. That was my last duty assignment before I retired 2 years ago.
And so this is an issue. This is it's become more and more prominent as far as what we know and what's being done, and maybe you could fill us in a little bit about the current state of affairs.
Well, my information will be a little dated, but you're absolutely right. It is a huge problem. It's a problem not only in the military, but recently on our college campuses. But it's something that's been going on for years and years, and now the right amount of attention and money and resources is being put towards fighting this. And you really, it's a war. You have to combat this. And it's victims both male and female, not just female. And it's especially a horrendous crime in the military when you're depending on your fellow brother or sister. That is not supposed to happen with the core values that we try to instill in our men and women going in the military. So with Congress's help, a lot of things have been done to assist victims of sexual assault, as well as to prevent sexual assault, to train everybody who comes in the military. Because every week, you know, hundreds of new airmen, soldiers, sailors, and Marines enter the military, the different services. And you've got to start training them from day one, what the expectation is. And then you've got to train them throughout their career. This is something that you can't just brief once and forget about. It's something that has to be ingrained into everybody. You know, and it's all about, you know, respect. It's all about, you know, taking care of your brother and sister. That's the person you're going to go to combat with, and you can't violate that trust.
Mary Kay, this is Michael, and it is a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
I'm really glad that you did say that, because when I served, and it was about 20 years ago, but when I served, it was still the situation of, you're right, you are brothers and sisters. It's almost, and I hate to say it this way, but it's almost incestuous to even consider.
Because that's your family member.
Absolutely, and it really does, when things of that nature occur, it not only destroys unit morale, but it is so profound. It is as though a family member, you know, violated the person in that way.
Absolutely. And the damage is done to that person for the rest of their lives. And that is something that, you know, we as the military will have to work with, and the Veterans Administration, too, because we have a lot of military members that leave the service never having reported they've been sexually assaulted. And then maybe when it's time for them to talk about it, try to go to the VA and get to the right counselors, and maybe even put in a claim to be considered for post-traumatic stress or whatever perhaps the issue might be. So, you know, it's something we have to fight continuously, and it's something that has to be brought to light, and it is being brought to light. And I'm proud of what the military is doing. I know Congress doesn't think it's enough and fast enough, and that's a fair assessment, because when you're trying to fight a crime like this, you have to do as much as you can, as fast as you can, to take care of the victims and to prevent it from even happening, and also to prosecute the perpetrators.
Well, I do understand the prerogative of a commanding officer, but I do believe that there is no justification for covering up on anything, especially of this nature. Especially when, and I'm not a political person, but I do remember seeing those hearings, and I thought it was amazing that they were all 60-plus-year-old men trying to discuss the issues facing women in the military, none of which I'm pretty sure have had that experience.
Probably true. And you know, in my humble opinion, I just think you need to have more women in charge in a lot of different areas, be it in our politics, be it in the military, to understand what some of these issues are, and in the Veterans Administration as well, because when you talk about the VA, 80% of the population that goes to the VA are men. And if you have a woman, let's say, who, you know, returned as a veteran, needs some help, maybe because she's been sexually assaulted, she may not want to go into the VA because they're male-dominated. She may want to talk to a woman. She may want to talk to somebody who has been what she has been through.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the women may try to avoid that. And quite frankly, a lot of sexual assault victims, male and female alike, it takes some years to come to terms to even talk about this.
Mary Kay, this is Stephanie. I had mentioned that this Saturday, October 18th, that there's going to be an event at the Veterans Center on the highway.
Right.
And maybe would you like to talk a little bit about that and let us know what's going to be happening?
Sure. It's the first of its kind in several years, from what I understand. And we're putting it on it not only because, you know, we've chosen this to be the year of the woman, but because there is a real need to get the information out in terms of women veterans. We have so far, my last count, 25 to 30 people confirmed. But it's hard to get people to come forward and want to attend. But it's a half a day, starts at 8 with registration. It's going to run until 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard there as our keynote speaker. And we're going to be bringing in some folks from Oahu as well as our experts here on the island to talk about, benefits such as what you're entitled to in the VA. And we find that a lot of the women that they don't relate as a veteran like men do, and they certainly sometimes don't want to go to the Veterans Center because women vets have a tendency to be younger than male vets. So they probably think, well, I don't want to sit around with a bunch of old guys. but we're trying to encourage as many women to come. You don't have to sign up ahead of time, just show up. But we're going to have folks talking about medical issues, mental health issues, employment, because our women veterans have a higher unemployment rate than our male veterans do.
Oh, that's interesting.
Homelessness, because our women veterans have a higher homelessness rate And, oh, by the way, many of them may be single parents, too.
Yes, that I've heard about. That is, it is, and it's atrocious, no question about it.
Right. So we want to give them some options and find some areas where we can help them with. So we're going to be talking about a lot of this and what are the various services that the Veterans Center provides and also the community-based outpatient clinic here on the island can provide them. So we're really trying to encourage as many women vets to show up. Get the information. They may not be ready to go to the Vet Center just yet or the Veterans Administration yet, but at least you have the information and you know where to go.
Yep.
Because these services are out there. They serve. They deserve these benefits, and maybe they need are entitled to some kind of compensation as well. This is the time to get the information and put in your claim to be considered.
Absolutely, Mary Kay. And Stephanie, as she said, will be attending. I know that I'll be attending representing Kauai Community College. I can say that from my own personal experience with the Kauai CBOC, the community-based outpatient clinic, they have wonderful people there, especially on their rural health and mental health side.
And, absolutely.
And I do believe that it is now part of their checklist, regardless of whether you're a female or male, when you go in, they ask the question about whether or not you've ever been assaulted. It's a part of the standard screening now, but I do know that there is a big push, at least here on Kauai, to provide services to female veterans, because you're right. As a system, the veterans system has not done a very good job of it. Fortunately, though, they are starting to address that issue.
They are. They're playing catch-up. They're doing a lot of things like hiring more female counselors. There's a fantastic comprehensive assessment that just came out that was chartered by the Disabled American Veterans. And it really goes down where the gaps in services are. It really highlights them and gives recommendations. You know, right now, because our women are veterans, female vets are much younger than men. They're still in their childbearing years.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have a third of the VA medical centers that don't even have a gynecologist on the staff. Well, you need people that know prenatal care. You need people that... I know obstetrics.
Wow.
So much more than what you thought of.
What she's saying is absolutely true.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, and I can tell you that there are people working within the system that are livid about it. You know, it's just a matter of having voices like your own, having voices like the people listening today, and coming out, especially our female veterans, coming out and learning what your rights are, because it is rights. It isn't a privilege. It isn't a... it's a nice opportunity to get together and feel good about it. It's important that they know what their rights are because they've earned them.
That's what I was going to say. They earned those rights.
Exactly. I mean, the theme for our conference is she serves, she deserves.
I like it.
Too, actually. That's very good.
About employment and education, because it's really important that our veterans, all veterans, understand what they're entitled to education-wise, because I think all veterans have a hard time sometimes translating what they did in the military into a civilian resume.
Yes.
And you have organizations that can help you do that, and there's been a huge push from the president and the first lady on down to make that happen. And partnerships with the Department of Labor. I used to sit in a meeting between the Department of Veterans Affairs, DOD, and the Department of Labor about how do we get our veterans back to work.
Well,
there are actually programs with goals to achieve to make that happen. I think we have to start doing a better job when somebody's getting ready to separate or retire. You almost need, like, what I used to call a warm handoff between the Department of Defense and the Department of Veterans Affairs so folks don't fall between the cracks.
Absolutely.
You know, if they need that kind of help, they know where to go. And, yep, the VA is a pretty unwieldy system, but once you've got the right contacts, you can make your way through that. And there are people there that are so willing to help you. And I'm proud of what they're trying to do now. I mean, a lot of the veterans centers, the medical centers, have got private entrances now for women.
Mm-hmm.
They're hiring a lot of, like I said, they're having a lot of gender-specific programs, so you as a woman don't have to sit in with a group of men and talk about maybe, you know, why are you traumatized? Maybe you don't want to tell anybody else but another woman about what happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, I mean, they're making progress. It just needs to be sped up because we have... I think the number of women veterans is growing at twice the rate as male veterans.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You have all these women coming out of Afghanistan and Iraq who have served. And I don't care if you say they were in support roles. Many of them were like convoy truck drivers, combat medics, military police. those are considered support roles, but you know what? They saw combat.
I would say, if you're in the theater, you deal with the environment.
Absolutely. You know, you can get mortared back in your base or on your FOB. It doesn't make a difference. You are subjected to that kind of stress, and you need to be given that same kind of treatment that the male veteran is. And I think a lot of women have a difficult time with it transitioning back, more so than their male counterparts, because the support hasn't been there, even in the community. I think a lot of guys look at the women, oh, well, you must have been a nurse, or you're here in the VA because maybe you're a wife of a veteran or something. No, that person is a veteran, and you need to start treating them as such. And I think as women, we need to be able to consider ourselves as veterans, too. I think a lot of women just don't, because they don't think of themselves in that role.
Well, I'm glad that you decided to retire here with your husband, because honestly, we do have some strong and vocal women veterans here, but it's nice to see someone who has made it to the level that you did in your career there amongst them to, you know, give them that mentoring as far
Absolutely.
As moving forward.
I'd be happy to talk to any of them one-on-one or anything like that, because you don't have to struggle through this by yourself.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'd be happy to go ahead, and I'll see you this Saturday at the event, but I'd love to have you come to the campus sometime and maybe go ahead and speak to some of our veterans there, or perhaps, you know, just to go ahead and stroll the campus and, you know, answer questions if you so chose to.
I think there's lots of people on staff and faculty who would like to really hear talk.
I would love some of our staff faculty to have an opportunity to.
Because that's part of the battle bringing veterans back onto the campuses, too, is that they feel as if it's going to be full of young students. And before you phoned in, Michael was mentioning that was one of his fears.
Absolutely.
And when he came to Kauai Community College, he was quite surprised to find out.
There were quite a bit of people around my age group there, yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I know that one of the other things they're really trying to do, Mary Kay, is to go ahead and focus on using ACE so that we can get that prior learning assessment so people can get their credits translated into the UH system. It's not happening at the pace that we'd like, but it is happening across the 10 campuses. And here at Kauai Community College, we're really starting to make a big push in order to make that happen, because we have over 50-plus self-identified veterans on campus, and I know we have more, and we're trying to, you know, get them to come out and identify themselves so that we can go ahead and save them money by going ahead and getting what they have done in their past translated into credits now. It saves them money and moves them forward to the goals, wherever those goals are.
Absolutely. And a lot of universities and colleges throughout America are doing that, and you hit the nail on the head when you said a lot of folks don't want to go back to a campus because they might feel so much older. They are older and experienced, that's for sure. But I know KCC has a good cross-section of folks, just adults going back to school, people that don't speak English as their primary language going to school. So hopefully they're feeling more comfortable in that environment.
Absolutely. Steph, do you have anything?
I'm wondering, Mary Kay, with your long service in the Air Force, you probably saw a lot of changes over time, and we mentioned many, many more women are in the military now. If you were sitting across from a young woman in the military, what words would you have for them? What would you like to say to that individual?
Well, you know, I had the opportunity to talk to a lot of airmen throughout my career, simply because of my grade and my position that I could get out to bases around the world. And a lot of the women would like to hang around behind to ask those kinds of questions. And basically what I would tell them is the military is a great start. I mean, if it's for you and you just want to serve 4 or 6 years as an initial enlistment, that's great. It can take you on to greater things. But if you want to do a career as well, you know, be the best you absolutely can every single day. Do your job. Make yourself an expert in those areas. Don't put up with any kind of crap, and I think I can say that on the radio.
Yeah, God bless.
From anybody, you know, a fellow airman, a supervisor, anything like that, you know, when you see something being done that's wrong, you know, go in and report it. Let us take care of you if something has happened to you, and, you know, we will do our utmost absolutely as your supervisors and as your commanders to do that. And I feel very strong about that. I had the privilege to command 11 years out of my almost 34 years at so many different levels. And command is a privilege. It's not a right.
Absolutely.
And your absolute edict must be you have to take care of those people. You've got to go to the mat for them. Sometimes you have to discipline them, but at other times you've got to go and fight for him day after day after day, and you have to do that. That's what makes you a commander, and that's why you've been given that privilege to do that. But if I had to do it over again, I absolutely would. There are so many more women in the military now, and, you know, in 2016, we're going to have all these jobs that had combat exclusions open up.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to bring a new host of issues as well, because what you want to do, you're going to have, if they don't change the physical fitness standards, and quite frankly, I hope they do not, because you need, you know, especially in special ops type of career fields, like pararescue, SEAL, you know, Green Berets, et cetera, you have to have that kind of physical strength, but I'm telling you, it's more mental strength than physical strength. Mm-hmm. And women must be accepted in those career fields, in those services. And I'm hoping that they will have, you know, several women that want to apply, not just onesies and twosies. It's going to be tough for them to get through, but those that get through must be accepted. And I think they will be, because it is such a tough and difficult specialty to go through.
Well, you're definitely right regarding the mental strength. I mean, in those cases, especially with things like, you know, pararescue, PJs, SAR, and SEALs, you're talking about a lot of physical work. But anybody who's gone through, and I've had many friends that are in special ops, they'll tell you it's like 9.9% mental.
Absolutely.
You know? Well, I gotta tell you, you are so wonderful to speak with, and you're just an inspiring guest.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. I like to see people succeed, and I'm so proud of what these young men and women do when they put up their right hand and say they're coming into the military, because only 1% of the general public can do that, mainly because of their physical fitness standards. But we ask a lot of our young men and women, and they really deliver, and we owe them afterwards. As we have all said and agreed, we owe them afterwards to take care of them.
Well, General, I want to thank you so much for calling in, and I want to point out that, you're calling into Kauai Community Radio. This is KKCR Honolulu, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea. I had to get that out of the way. And, you know, we've been asking for pledges because we are a volunteer-driven. Michael's here as a volunteer. I'm a volunteer. Stephanie's a volunteer in many levels. And we're asking people to phone in to 826-7771 or 826-7774 and pledge their support for community radio. And so far, we have one vote from the Army and one vote from the Air Force.
We could always take a second vote.
We could.
Well, I'll go ahead and take me as a second vote here.
All right, then I will put you there. Get you offline, but you know, we have no Marines, we have no Coast Guards that called in. I think these people, this is a challenge. I'm just go right out there, you know.
Absolutely.
You told me to be a strong woman, didn't you?
So. Let's get the Marines in here as well. Yeah, and Coast Guards.
Well, we've got a few minutes left, and we certainly would like to have people phone in. And I really want to thank you for your call. It was really wondrous.
It really was fantastic. Mm-hmm.
No, my pleasure. And thank you for doing what you're doing. That's so important that we don't forget our veterans. And, you know, Veterans Day is coming up, and people sometimes come out for 2 days out of the year, Memorial Day and Veterans Day. But, you know, we need to be thanking our vets every single day, and we need to be, you know, thinking about our folks that have, you know, made the ultimate sacrifice for this country so we can live in paradise like we are doing.
Well, we hope to see you on Saturday, maybe.
Oh, I'll be there. You bet.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Mahalo.
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 So wrapping up, we've got just a few minutes left. We surely would like to have some people phone in. I think that was an awesome show, you guys. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Very interesting.
I think the General definitely made that show. And to be honest with you, you could definitely hear the sincerity in her voice.
Absolutely.
And since she has walked the walk, I really, really would urge any of our women veterans, come on out Saturday. Let us go ahead and tell you what you've already earned and deserve. And hopefully we can help make things, if not easier, then at least open up other possibilities you may not already know about.
Yeah, and it may be something you didn't realize. Like, for instance, somebody pointed out to me recently that the children of the person who served also can have benefits to go to school.
That is absolutely correct.
So consider your children.
If you're not willing to use the benefits that you receive.
Or if you
receive,
don't need them, maybe you got a good job, you're happy as a clan.
Absolutely. You can go through the VA process and have those transferred to your children, yes.
That's really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be on again in about 1 month. Do you have a closing remark, Stephanie?
Yes, I would like to thank General Hertog. She's a remarkable person. I had the privilege of meeting her. It was last summer. There was another event at the Veterans Center for Women in the Military, and she gave the opening keynote remarks and had a chance to chat with her, find out what her background was. Very, very interesting, and it's wonderful that she's here on our island.
It certainly is, yeah. So I'm going to give you guys one last chance to call in before I segue to the next show. Come on, give us a call, 826-7771, 826-7774. Stephanie's moving her head in time to the,
right,
to
yeah.
the numbers. But this is the first day of the fundraiser. Wait till you get to my show on Sunday. I will have said this about 850,000 times. So, and I'd like to go out, if that's okay with you guys, there's a song by Anuna.
Can I, just before you do that really quick, I want to thank you, Stephanie, absolutely for co-hosting with me, and Lynn for making sure that we kept the lights on and the sound going. But I also wanted to thank Steve from KCC, our student veteran, who has been taking in the phone calls. And all of you that listened, please call next time. We want to hear your voices. And now I got to keep speaking because Lynn is keeping the lights on. Okay, 1, 2, 3, there we go.
Aloha. I just got a message from Steve, who is our student who's answering the phones, that Danny the Conscientious Objector made.
Oh.
Thank you, Danny.
A vote.
Wow.
And Danny, I have to tell you, I'm a Quaker. I'm on your side.
Well, I don't believe in going to war unless absolutely necessary, so I'm with you, Danny.
So mahalo, and I'd like to go out with a song which is by a group called Anuna, and it's called Girl in the War, and it's a beautiful song, but I do warn you, they do say the word hell, so please have your children cover their ears, but you'll understand it's in the perfect context of the song. This is the group Anuna.
Just the rules of the game, and the rules are the first to grow. Jungle Girl, Inc., Island Bohemian-style fashion accessories, home decor, textiles, and more, celebrating 16 sweet years in Old Kalua Town. Mahalo for your support.
Coldwell Banker Balihai Realty, a local family-owned business providing real estate services to the people of Kauai for 36 years. Balihai.com or 826-7244.
Kauai Canvas, custom.